Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Every mu'min has a connection with Allah Ta'ala. So in that respect, every mu'min is a wali. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. This is the entry level, and the effect of this entry level is inshallah, eventually he will get to Jannat. So that's the entry level. But remaining at that level, not trying or aspiring to come above, to progress, etc., that's wrong. Sometimes it's deceiving, self-deception. Sometimes it's laziness. Sometimes it is procrastinating and postponing. And you don't know what can happen. You may never get the chance again. That tawfiq to do the good again may not come again. Many times it happens that your eyes open up for tahajjud. You're feeling all right, you're not sick. But you postpone it. You know, I'll just have a small snooze and get up thereafter. And then when you are gone to sleep, then you only get up at the Fajr Azan time. So the whole time of tahajjud is gone. So therefore Allah Pak says, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Allah Ta'ala comes in between man and his intention. So these are opportunities that Allah Ta'ala throws, and these opportunities must be exploited. A good thought, a thought that is manageable, then execute that thought. Example, a beggar came to the home, so the thought came, all right, let me give him something. I can't give him much, let me give him a few slices of bread. If there is some curry, put some curry or some meat, give it to him, send him away. Now that good thought came, but with that good thought, if a wrong thought comes, you know, I'll do it afterwards, leave him afterwards, or for example, say, why these people are begging all the time? So now that person afterwards left, and you will get left from these type of opportunities again. So if opportunities come around, then exploit the opportunity. It's a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is encouraging you, is taking you forward. And the right thing is to exploit, to take advantage of it. This opportunity is like, I had explained last night, that every night there is a caller from the heaven. هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Anybody wants anything, I'm there. So Allah Pak is calling out. He wants to push you, wants to give you progress. And then it's a little bit of initiative from your side. Just get up, shake up a little bit, and you will get the drive. Most of us, if we just get up from the bed, go to toilet, make wuzu, automatically everything works after that. So the only difficult part is to get up from the bed. I think that's the only difficult part. But once you get up, then everything starts, everything continues thereafter. So when these opportunities come, then don't ignore them. If it is, for example, some haram, right? A woman or something, a pawn, something that is not right, or music, or some type of rebirth that is taking place, then the thought may come, but this is not right. So this thought that comes that this is not right, then take advantage of it. And move away. Think to yourself that this is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. This thought coming at the right time. The time that I needed it, this inspiration is coming to me. So this inspiration came, and it came at the right time. When that girl came, and this inspiration came, they don't look. So now, it's a gift from Allah Ta'ala, so take advantage of it. You take advantage of it, what happens? Then Allah Ta'ala gives you more gifts in the future. That what I'm giving him, that he's appreciating it. It's like a mother, right? She dished out food for the child, and the child is eating it nicely, respectfully, is appreciative, so the mother will dish out more. But if he's wasting, not eating, he's just neglecting or wasting that food, then she'll be reluctant. She'll think, I must dish out more for this child because he's wasting. What I've given him is wasting. I say, give him more. So you take advantage, Allah grants you more. Take advantage of it, Allah grants you more. So this is a entry level. At that entry level, what is required is you take advantage. So a good thought comes at the right time. A good thought comes. So this is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Call it an inspiration, call it a gift, call it a blessing of Allah Ta'ala. So all you need to do is just take advantage of it. So this, at this level, you call the person a wali, but he's a wali at the entry level. So every, in that respect, every mu'min is a wali, is a friend of Allah Ta'ala. But now, the friendship, any type of friendship requires to be serviced. I've got a friend, but I'm not servicing the friendship, not talking to him, not writing to him, not inviting him home, not sending a gift to him. No type of service, that friendship is not being serviced at all. Then the possibility is then that, that friendship then deteriorates. So a friendship requires service that thing. So as you service it, the friendship grows. The same with Allah Ta'ala. You service the friendship, and you'll find that that relationship is growing. You're servicing. So you got Allah Ta'ala before you, and there's an opportunity that came that you did something. So now it's namaz time, and it's just about, say, 20 minutes before, 20 or 25 minutes before namaz, and struck you now, or it's 25 minutes. It'll take me about 10 minutes to wuzu, toilet, all that. So let me get over that, then I can go to masjid in good time. So this thought came in. When the thought came in, so you hurry to the toilet, wuzu, and then you proceed towards the masjid. So you take advantage over this, then Allah will give you more. Right? When I'm giving you something, then you're respecting it, you're appreciating it, then he's doing something more. See? So the friendship has to be serviced. The short and the long is the friendship must be serviced. Now, when you sit in this type of gatherings, then for some time you find a little bit of a charge in you. That's also called a type of a nisbat. You get a lot of three, four different types of nisbat. Islahi, ittihadi, different levels of nisbat you'll find a charge. But you want to do good, you want to leave out evil. For some time you'll find that namaz, etc., becomes automatic. You want to do it. Reciting the Quran Sharif, setting up for zikr, etc., all becomes like natural. You want to do ta'lim, you become a little bit more composed person, you don't just flip too easily. So you see some direction in you, some type of a change, some type of a improvement in you. Now, this is, like I said, the entry level. At entry level, at that level, you mustn't feel, you don't feel deceived. Don't get deceived with this. Don't think that this is a permanent thing. It's just a gift that you've been given, and a gift that's been given at the beginning. Right? So at the beginning, you must get, Allah will give you something. You go to a nursery, then they give you something, right? Just to enhance you, to encourage you. So Allah Ta'ala also will give you some things. So a lot of things, the beginning, a lot of things, and the tasawwuf also, you'll get, someone will get dreams, you'll get, see, Anbiya alayhim salam, someone will see Jannat, someone will see Jahannam, someone may see some Noor. So you get a lot of things at the beginning, a lot of things you see. Right? Now, when you see those things, then don't think, now, you feel a drive, you feel nice, sometimes you feel like crying, right? You feel like crying, you see good dreams, good feelings. So a lot of good things you find, some prosperity, some business deal came up, that thing worked out for you. So at the beginning you find a lot of things. So this is like the lollipop that is given to the child to go to preschool, right? Like that child thinks, you know, hey, now I'm in grade 10, I'm not getting lollipops now. What do you say? It's not right. Not feeling right. It was meant just to enhance you, encourage you. So you should get some lollipop. Mother gave some juice bottle, lunch box, right? And some lunch, you know, that they gave you, right? So you felt nice. But now you're grade 10, now if I wake up, you can't be considering yourself to be a little child. So these are a lot of experience, different experience people get in different ways, right? But at this point here, what is needed is understand that this is not of your own doing. It's not of your own doing. It's just a gift of Allah Ta'ala. Through the association, you get a little bit of charge. Right association, and you get a little bit of a charge. Like you go into an attar shop, right? So you left the shop, and you still smell the perfume around you. Although you didn't apply the perfume, but that attar shop and the effect of it got into your clothing. For some time, you got the fragrance. Right? So, was it your own attar? No. It was the attar from the attar shop that affected your cloth. Affected your cloth, now you're getting the fragrance of the attar. So, if you think it's my own, and I don't need to buy attar, then after 2 days, what happens? It's gone. 1 day, or half an hour, 1 hour, that if you think it's your own, then you lost the plot. So this is now the very, very first level. This is a charge that Allah gives everybody. Everybody gets it. You come into an environment, sit in the company of a pious person, or for example, you're spending your time in Jamaat, but the right way, with the right group. Not only the right way, but with the right group. Group is right, and you're spending your time. So for sometimes you get a little bit of charge. Just cry, get up for tahajjud, see that my namaz is right. So you'll do some additional things, you'll do things rightly, you'll try and correct and rectify yourself. In all what we're doing, then one very dangerous thing is you don't compare yourself. One person against the other, yeah, I'm still better, what he's doing. He's helpless. If everything gets angry, he just gets ticked off. So don't compare yourself. If you compare yourself, you may just go backwards. Yes, when you want to, then you look at the people that are ahead, the imams in that field, people that are the forerunners in that field, look at them, right? What he did, what achievement. So there's a lot of room for improvement still. There's a lot of room for improvement. I must go forward. Now I'm going to think about the person that is my contemporary, person that is on my line or behind me, then I'll become complacent. Yes, the forerunners in that field, I mean, look at them. Look at them, see how they behave, what was they doing, what was they taking. I must look at that all the time. At every moment, I must look at that. So this is that first level. And this first level, you are blessed by Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala encourages you, He supports you, and you get moving, right? As you get moving, then you come to the second level. Right? Now at the second level, what happens? At the second level, you get a little bit of a light. A little bit of a light you get. And as though that light is your own light. Because you worked. And as you worked, then you got a small light. So wherever you are going, now you are carrying that light with you. But that light is very weak, and it's got no cover. It's a weak light. It's got, imagine a candle, but it's not covered, right? One is a lamp that is covered with glass, or a torch that is covered, right? So it's covered, the fire is covered against the surrounding. But if you got a candle, it's not covered. It's light, but it's not covered. So now, at the second level, now you got a little bit of a light, but that light is not covered. When the light is not covered, then if you go into an environment that is not conducive, then that light gets extinguished, gets put off. So at this level, you have to be very careful, very, very careful. I got a candle, I can see, I got a direction, you think now that that light that you've got is permanent, again you're in problem. You'll be very, very careful about it. You'll just imagine that candle now and you're walking, so you've got some light, some direction, moving. But if you're careless about it, one small wind comes and it's gone. A little bit of rain comes and it's gone. So somewhere you've got that light, you have to be very, very careful, right, of the environment, where you're going to, what you're talking about, what you're getting involved in, right. So you have to be very careful. You may do some wrong and that light just gets off, put off. I think, hey, what happened to me? I was working so nice and then now I just dropped. I relapsed. Now did they say? I relapsed. Yeah, I went in. Then I relapsed afterwards. So you were not careful of that light that Allah Pak had blessed. So there must be a relapse. You caused it for yourself, that you were going nicely. But why did you do this? So at this level, what is important, whatever the mashayikh show you, that you must be punctual in that. For example, they'll tell you, do your zikr, do your tilawat, see your namaz is on time, do ta'lim, do it regularly, make istighfar. And overall, by and large, then report. Report your case to your sheikh or whoever it is, you report. So Allah Pak has created a system and the system has to be followed. Right? If an individual wants, he may do a correspondence course, right? Become a Mawlana. But does that happen? And if it happens right. He's doing a correspondence course in medicine. Does it work out right? Correspondence course in tailoring. Forget the rest, tailoring. You'll get it right. Okay. So you need that association. Do the work, show it to the person. He shows you some corrections, correct the thing, carry on. Eventually, one day you'll become a tailor. He showed you cooking, etc. You did, and you followed, you conformed. Eventually, you become a tailor, right? So at the second level, this is what is required. That you, the ma'amul, whatever teaching, whatever guidance, whatever instruction you receive, that instruction must be adhered to. Whichever way he asks you, you adhere, you follow. Someone wants to know what time limit. No time limit. But someone wants to make a time limit for himself, it's all right, one month, 2 months. But there must be some type of a relationship. See, for that thing to progress, there must be a relationship. No relationship, sometimes it becomes a little bit difficult for me. Now, all the relationship everyone should have in Ramzan. 50 months, I got some problem. Like 50 people think that at Ramzan time, one person and 50 versing one person, it's going to be difficult, isn't it? As in Ramzan, you have to attend to other programs, your own programs, and then added to that, all these additional things, then it becomes difficult. So the right thing is, after Ramadan, then you continue. Ramadan, now you're in the workshop already. Ramadan is the workshop. In the workshop, I don't come keep telling the mechanic, hey, I got this also, that also. Let him start off. But Ramadan is like the workshop. When it's the workshop now, just follow the program. He's going to see it through the computer, that this is a fault, that is a fault, and sort it out. You want some additional things afterwards, we'll talk about it. But now, just let it carry on, the system, just carry on. Right? So Ramadan is a little bit difficult, it's a unique month, right? And everybody wants a little bit of seclusion. Even Nabi went into Etikaf. Etikaf is seclusion. Isn't it seclusion? Sometimes for 20 days, sometimes 30 days, and sometimes, or most of the time, last 10 nights. But there was this seclusion. So, wanting that type of attention and communication in Ramadan is not being fair to yourself. After Ramadan, then, all right, now everything is settled, I got time, you got time, now you communicate, you get that respect. But now, you don't show respect and you want that respect, how will it be? So, both are at ease, they're at leisure, they're comfortable. You talk, he's listening to you nicely, and he's suggesting some things. And he's talking, one is an emergency, sorry, it's a different, it's an emergency. Otherwise, Maturidi says, to the extent, the adab of suluk, he says, even if someone asks you to go and convey salams to the sheikh, don't do it. Don't even convey salams. You came for your own self now. When you came for yourself now, just be fully focused for what you have come. That's how you're going to get embroiled now. Came for myself, conveying his salams, talking story about that person. So now, see, you are the person, you are the client. You are the client that you are supposed to be getting the best attention. So don't turn the sheikh's attention away from you. There are some very subtle points in tasawuf. In the adab they've got, that when you are going to the sheikh, then go alone. Come alone. The more time I say that, I was wondering for some time, that why must you go alone? When you're going to a sheikh, then why should you go alone? So he had visited Mawlana Fazlur Rahman, Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi, and this topic had come up, you know. So one murid came, and he said, I was waiting for this person, and when he got ready, we came together. No, don't do this, come alone. And then he gave the reason why you should come alone. Don't wait for anybody to come. Come alone. Why? He says, sometimes the sheikh needs to talk to you directly about some wrong, some problem, he needs to talk to you. This is not right, this is how it's supposed to be done. But in the presence of the next person, can he talk to you freely? It's going to be difficult for him to talk to you freely. But you come alone, he can tell you, right, this is the wrong, and this is how you rectify it. That's the first mistake. Second mistake is, then you'll postpone your coming until that person gets ready. He gets ready, then I'll come. So now, you need to be attended, it's your problem. When you need to be attended, then you come straight away. Don't postpone your coming because of that person. Again, they've got amongst the adab, see, the adab of suluk and tarbiyat and islam. Third thing is, don't subject your coming to a gift. You must have a gift, then only can I come. Otherwise, now you don't have something to give, they say, no, I can't come. And then people quote a statement, jo khali haath aya, wo khali jayega. Came empty, he'll go empty. So, that is not the meaning of the statement. The meaning of the statement is, the man that came void, he came empty of ikhlas, he came for material reasons, he came empty of ikhlas, he is the person that will go void. But now, you subject, I must have something, you know. I must have something, I present it to him, then I'll get access. Not right. You know, in our Surat house in India, so the person that was looking after it was a new Muslim, right? Ahmad Bhai. So his uncle was a Hindu still, and he used to take care of the house. He used to call him Bicha or Bacha, something he used to call him. It was his name. So one day he came to us, we were the students now. So sometimes maybe you got a month holiday, so we'll spend 1-2 days and then we'll go back. So here in the room, so this Bacha comes in, and he says, money was 5 rupees de diyo. 5 rupees, bahut zarur hai, maine 5 rupees diyo. Give me 5 rupees. I got a terrific need. I got, just give me 5 rupees. So someone pulled out the 5 rupees and gave it to him. So after a tour or something, he came back. He started giving all the swear words that he had in his dictionary. He started giving to the pandit of the temple. He like this and all the every swear word he gave. I said, Bacha, what happened? He says, you see, by us, it's not like y'all. See, y'all want to make namaz and all that, just make wuzu straight away inside the masjid. By us, it is that when you start our prayer, the starting must be money. See the man right, then you get the access. See the pandit right, then you get access. Like, by us, make wuzu, then you come, right? Then you have to see the pandit right before you get the access. No, you don't see the person right. So you can't get access to the prayer. The prayer is like sealed off until you see him right. Then I said, well, Lucho, if you don't give me anything, I can't get anything. So the worst words he could use, he used for that Pandit. But I can't get in without seeing him right. So I had to give him now. So don't make Islam like that. Islam, we came for Islam. Don't worry about this thing. Don't subject that to your coming. So Islam is for deen, and it's for deen, then don't subject your coming to any gift, etc. So I'm showing you the adab. The adab, now this is what is mentioned in the kitabs, right? Sometimes, some of the statements of the Buzugan Adin are misconstrued, right? Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh is reported to have said that Khuda ka naam chahe jis qadar ghaflat se liya jaye fayde ke baghair rehta nahi. No matter in what state you take the name of Allah Ta'ala, but there will definitely be a benefit, right? Now this statement is misconstrued. So how people are misconstruing it? They're misconstruing it like this, that you guna and all you do, but you take the name, Allah Bakh's name, it's all right, man. Sometimes, some way you'll come right, because you're making zikr, take Allah Bakh's name, so you'll come right. So it's misconstruing. Now, why it's misconstrued? It's misconstrued because of two reasons. So, you say there'll be faida, but the taking of the name of Allah Ta'ala, there is faida, definitely, right? Now, look at it. You know, you look at that verse of the Quran, أَوْ كَسَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتُ وَرَعْدُ وَبَرْقٍ يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِيَهُمْ فِي آذَانِ مِّنَ السَّوَاهِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. So now look at the case of a fence-sitter. You know, you call it munafiq or a fence-sitter. When it's a fence-sitter, so he's taking the name of Allah. He says, La ilaha illallah, right? So he's making zikr, he's saying, La ilaha illallah. So, when he's going to say, La ilaha illallah, then he's counted as a Muslim. When he's counted as a Muslim, then the benefit that is forwarded to a Muslim in an Islamic state, he will enjoy the benefits. So it's some mal ghanimat or whatever. Because now outwardly he's coming for namaz, he's doing some zikr, etc. So whatever benefits are accrued to Muslims generally, he's going to get something. So faida ke baghair rehtan, that's one meaning. So now, if you think it's a general statement, then that's wrong. Similarly, it's also applicable to a person that is beginning, starting off. But never mind, just take the name of Allah Ta'ala. You know, he just started off, he is coming up. So, like, see, you Tabligh Jamaat went for Gush, right? And one person wasn't coming to the masjid at all. Absolutely null. No namaz, no Eid, no Jummah. So, with a lot of difficulty, they got him to come for one namaz in the day. So the Jamaat brothers will give him an applaud, they'll compliment, MashaAllah, Allah Bakh, give you a lot of barakah in your business, a lot of words of encouragement they will give him. Now, someone that doesn't know what happened, what he'll say, he says, he's complimenting him, you're making dua for him for leaving out four namazes. Now, he doesn't know what happened. Because he doesn't know what happened, therefore he comes to this conclusion. Now, ask that brother how much of difficulty he had got to get him to read one namaz. Allah Bakh reward these people here. Sometimes I shout them, but I know the difficulty that they go through also. One person they have to serve for 4 months. They will do it as though it's their own job. Go for the passport application, fill this form here, get the certificate signed. And the father is shouting to go and make the ikram of the father, get him to give the approval. Wife is making a noise, so take your wife. Wife must go and make that person's wife's zehn. So a lot of difficulty goes in making that person's zehn. Eventually, you got one person coming out. A lot of difficulty, a lot of magar bari, a lot of mehnat, right? A lot of thing goes in it. I know where this Jamaat work started around 60s, 70s. So I won't mention the name, right? But I know the amount of difficulty that they used to have. The man wants to go, but his wife is not giving the approval. Fighting, and he loves his wife, so he's not saying anything. But every time she makes a big noise, then one of the old ladies have to go there, patawa her, make her feel nice and all that. Eventually, that man became a very strong worker. His wife and him, very strong worker. Very a lot of cases like that. So you see the whole history. You know what difficulty they go through. It's not, you don't just make a person like that overnight. And then to have a case where you've got the wife and the husband both working actively, isn't that a great kamal? Sometimes a whole area is uplifted just because of one couple. They make fikr, understand, take mashwara, and they work. They work so well that the whole area is uplifted. So what I'm getting at is, now one person is just started off. When he started off, he's given some encouragement. So for him, we'll say yes, definitely, that whatever you'll do, inshallah, Allah will definitely reward you for you. It's my faida hai. But now, you were a good Muslim, right, and you were not taking interest in all that, and now you start taking interest in making zikr still. What do you say? You're looking for trouble now. It's not that the zikr doesn't have its faida. The zikr has its faida. But now you're neglecting the zikr. See, when you're neglecting the zikr, now you're going to retrogress. Don't think now I'm going to make zikr now, but that zikr will carry me everywhere. See? One Hindu had come up to Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He says that I had a peer, and the peer is late now, and he had prescribed some zikr for me. So with the zikr, I had reached a certain level of spirituality. I've elevated myself. I can see something like farishtas. I can see some light coming down. And now that my peer is dead, so I need to just renew this bi'at, you know. Renew this bi'at, and you can just encourage me more. So Mu'adh Gangohi says to him, he's making zikr for so many years, right? Not a Muslim. So Mu'adh tells him, bhai, humare yahan ye bayat ke liye iman shart hai. By us, for that bayat, iman is a shart, is a precondition. So to make a blanket sweeping statement that you make zikr, everything comes right, that's misconstruing. Tawjihul qawli bima la yarda bihi qailhu. So see Mu'adh, his whole action is contradicting. He's making zikr, he's a Hindu. But Mullah is not prepared to renew his bayat. It's a precondition. Although simultaneously, this person here goes to Mullah Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi, and he's accepting him. Now, Mullah Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi, sometimes he cannot be used as an argument. The reason is, unke upar jazb ghalib tha. See, now jazb is a certain type of a feature that overwhelms the person. When it overwhelms the person, he's doing something, but he doesn't realize consequences. See, a certain type of a spiritual state, he's overcome with that state. When he's overcome with that state, then he does something and he doesn't realize what he's doing. Sometimes he's just looking at a short-term advantage. He's not looking at a long-term advantage. So his understanding at that time is not right. He's looking at a short-term, not at a long-term. So this used to happen to Mawla Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Ali. That sometimes he will look at the short term, and that short term was because of that jazbi kafiyat. The jazbi kafiyat is overwhelmed with that. See, and he may say something, then he realizes that in the jazbi he was a very great muhaddis, because he had ijazah from the Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib directly. So you can imagine what a great person he must have been. But then that jazbi kafiyat was overwhelming. See, so now, there's two terms that they use. One is they use the term suluk, and the other term that they use is jazb. Right? Suluk is your effort. What? Suluk is the effort of the individual. That's called suluk. So you're conforming to the sunnah, to the instruction, guidance that you receive from your sheikh. That's called suluk. So you're threading, you're walking, right? But just walking on your own is not enough. You need a jazb. You need an attraction from Allah Ta'ala. So you're walking, and as you are driving, so you're getting a drive from Allah Ta'ala as well. See, you're moving, and there's a magnetic force that is attracting you. So that's that force that is attracting you, that is called jazb. Right? Now, sometimes the suluk and the jazb are equal. Right? So that's all right. Sometimes the suluk is more and the jazb is less. So that can be dangerous, right? Because you're striving, but the pull that you're getting from Allah Ta'ala is very, very little, right? And sometimes that pull from Allah Ta'ala is overwhelming. So it may not be dangerous, but it's not the better thing. Right? It may not be dangerous, but it may not be the better thing. Because now, when that jazb is overwhelming, right? It's overwhelming, then you may take some quick decisions. Right? Now, how to give you an example for that? See, in the dark now, and I see one light in the distance, right? So, when I see the light in the distance, I want to go towards the light to get some guidance, right? Now, if I only got jazb, I don't have suluk, I'll just go there. Irrespective of the conditions of the path. There's a jungle, there's a snake, there's a lion, there's a scorpion. So the jazb is so strong, I'm just moving. Understand? So that's what I'm saying. He's not looking at long term, he's looking at short term. But you will see that this person is excused at this level. This level, bichare mazoor hai. He's overwhelmed. When he's overwhelmed, then he can't think properly. When he can't think properly, therefore you say he's excused at this level. Now, the hadith to support this, there's 2-3 hadiths to support this kafiyat, you see. See, that hadith where the tawbah is accepted, and that person exclaims in excitement and happiness, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. So he's uttered those words, and Rabbi Sam is repeating those words, right? Not in condemning the person, but to show the level of excitement. See, that level of excitement, and he doesn't know what he was talking about. See what he said. Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. Allah Ta'ala, you are my slave, and I am your Rabb. Now, he doesn't know what he's saying because he's overwhelmed. See, a certain spiritual state has overcome him. So I just explained to you now what is jazb and what is suluk. See, another example for this is again that hadith of that three people being locked in the cave, right? So one person, he makes dua out of for the service and the respect that he's shown to his parents. So he got the milk, right? Now he's got two obligations. One obligation is to see to his parents. And another obligation is to see to his wife and children. Al mauludi lahu rizquhunna wa kiswatuhunna bil ma'ruf. Both are obligations, right? Now, when both are obligations, so now he's got his children crying here. Wasibyanu yataghaduna. They are crying here. And he's got his parents that are fast asleep. They're not awake, they're fast asleep. He says, no, my habit, my routine is I must feed my parents first. Thereafter, I will feed my wife and children. But aren't they both obligations? They're both obligations. He was supposed to be looking at both of them, right? But now, this aspect is overwhelming. The respect of his parents is overwhelming. And because the respect to the parents is overwhelming, he behaves in this manner, right? And Nabi Sam is not condemning him. In fact, he's giving him an applaud that because of this, now your dua got answered. Should. Because there were other ways to sort this thing out. He could have just separated the milk in two different containers, leave one for the parents, one for them to get up, and meanwhile sort the children out. He could have done that. But now this kafiyat, this feature was overwhelming. And because it was overwhelming, he's mazur in that respect. We won't say he's a gunegar, we won't say he's a sinner. We will say he's mazur. See? So this kafiyat is called jazb, right? And to traverse the path, you must have jazb. There must be a pull, there must be an attraction from Allah Ta'ala. Moving, and you must get an attraction. You see, the hadith says, you come one zira, right? One hand length, right? So Allah becomes one ba. Ba is, they say, four hands. So one zira is so much, and ba is like this. So that means four hands length, right? So, as you will traverse, as you will take the step, then Allah Ta'ala also comes towards you. So there must be a jazb. Otherwise, there's no jazb from that side. You can't move. It's very difficult to move. just to move entirely on your steam is going to be very difficult. So you will work, Allah Pak will help you. You will work and Allah Pak will help you. Going for 3 days, now you want to go for 40 days. Hey, Jamaat worked on him, they came for 3 days. After the 3 days, you know, I am on for 40 days. Don't you have that? And after 40 days, sure, I'm going for 4 months. Doesn't it happen? So you see, that's a jazb. So Allah Pak helped him. When he helped him, he attracted the person. Man is attracted now. See. So one is the suluk and one is jazb. And both are needed. But in this jazb, this happens sometimes, that there's an overwhelming feeling. So I showed you now, he's got a light at the distance. But he's got jazb, he doesn't have suluk. Right, so he'll just go. Now the snakes are getting him, scorpions, he's moving towards the light. But if he's got jazb and suluk, then he will go, but he knows suluk also. He says, this is right, this is not right. I must go on this road and avoid that road. Stop here, move there, speed up there, and slow down here. He will do all that and then he'll reach, because he's got suluk and he's got jazb. So you see now, it must be a combination of suluk and jazb. Just jazb. So Muhammad Fazlur Rahman was like that. He was overwhelming with jazb. He was overwhelming with jazb. And sometimes he may say something. Right? Like sometimes he may just take a Hindu in for bayat, right? Sometimes it may be that the person is clean shaven and he will make the proper instruction, take him full in suluk. Right? So sometimes it will be that extreme. And sometimes it would be that if someone just missed out on mustahab, he will let him have it. Terribly. Yeah? Someone came into the masjid with a left foot. Bhes kahi ka? Jangli kahi ka? You know, that side, the man shaven his beard complete and he is normal relationship. And sometimes it was this type of an extreme, just one mustahab and he let the person have it. And mind you, Mora is very free in his mizaj. They were like the Nawabs, you know, like the kings of that time. Like the Nawab from Hyderabad, Nawab from Bhopal, all would come. I was reading an article that Nawab from Bhopal was so rich, so wealthy, that in his underground cellars, they had trucks loaded with gold. Truck, you know, this horse and trailer. So much of just gold, pure gold, so wealthy. So now, these Nawabs are coming to Muradabad, Muhammad Fazlur Rahman. Right? Aapko bas ek raat qiyam ki ijazat hai. Subo, ek baje nikal jana. You only got ijazat to stay till 1 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock, you just move out, get out of here. Hazrat, nahi, mera hukam hai. You move out 1 o'clock. So you see that jazb. So because of the jazbi kayfiyat, he would say some things. But people understood him already. They understood him what he was. And they respected him for what he was. The Nawaz also would take the hiding, but they knew what the man was, so they don't mind. They didn't mind all that. Right? So now, I'm just showing you there is a combination of suluk and jazb. Right? And sometimes when there is too much of jazb, then there can be a misfunction in the person, right? The function will not be like how you want it. Right? Now, such a person's statements can be misconstrued. If you don't know the background, you can misconstrue the thing. How can he say this? A person got no beard. A Hindu took him in for bayat. So you can misconstrue it now because you don't know the person. You don't know the path, so you can misconstrue it. Now you know the path, alright, this person had this. And because of this, therefore, he conducted himself in this way here. Right? And the other buzur, he conducted himself in a different way. So now you understand the background, so you appreciate. Otherwise now, unnecessarily you can condemn, criticize, find falsehood, Buzurgana Deen. So someone has got both in balance. Someone got a little bit more of suluk. Someone got a little bit more of jazb. A little bit more, just slightly more of jazb is a health, very healthy state. A little bit more of jazb and suluk, a little bit help. But too much of jazb, then that can be a little bit dangerous. Too much of jazb. While Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah was studying in Delhi, so one majzub took a liking for him. took a liking for him. And what I heard, I was Majzub, you must be careful of them. They are a class of Buzurgan Adin, but you must be careful of them. You don't accept gifts from them. So this Majzub gave Murana one guava. Right? Strangely, that guava was quite hot. Then Majzub kept on looking at it like this, turning it around, making nazar on that thing, and gave to Mulana. Well, I just took it out of respect, he took it. I said, but maine sun rakha tha ke Majzubo ki di hui cheez nahi khana chahe. They give you something, don't eat it. So I just left it in the niche. You know, India has this niche. All that. So I left it in the niche. After about 2 weeks or something passed, I just went there, it's winter, I see that thing is still hot like it was that day when he gave it to me. So okay, lucky I never touched that thing. I reported it to my sheikh, whoever, so lucky you never ate it. If you had you eaten it, tum barina ho jate, you would have gone naked. That overwhelming state would have overcome you. You would have known what you're doing. You would have taken your clothes out as well. So lucky you didn't eat this thing. So it's a class of awliya, but I say that kayfiyat is overwhelming, and because of that feature overwhelming, they got a certain type of a behavior. So you don't unnecessarily condemn them. You don't criticize them, don't condemn them, don't go behind them, don't accept their gifts, and don't run them down as well. So you just hold them excused. They're excused in whatever they are doing. Then, so suluk and jazb, right? And both are needed. See, there's a dua that you make. Allahumma inni as'aluka shawqan ila liqa'ik. That's again a step of a jazb, right? A yearning to meet you. Inni as'aluka shawqan ila liqa'ik. Wa ladhata nazri ila wajhik. So that yearning, learning, you know, Man ahabba liqa Allah, ahabba Allah. So that yearning. So that is type of a jazb, right? Now, then the hadith also says, min ghayri dharra mudirra wala fitnatim mudilla. Now why does the hadith say, min ghayri dharra mudirra wala fitnatim mudilla? So if that yearning, that longing is not balanced, right? Not balanced, right? It's very strong. The pull is so strong. Then kya hoga? It's possible that you'll forget your wife, your children, all your farais you'll forget. Your mind is just in namaz, just in zikr. So these obligations can be neglected. Though you'll be mazur because you know what's happening. Your mind is just engulfed in that. So the reason I'm saying, min ghayri dharra'a mudirra. One problem is, wala fitnati mudilla. It can be a fitna for you that your obligations you're not fulfilling. You see, sometimes it can be a fitna that your obligation you're not fulfilling. You're not eating. You can have problems, right? Wala fitnat min ghayri dharra. Sometimes it can be health problems. It's like you're not eating now. You know, excessive love now. You're not eating. Like a person now is in love with a girl, right? And he can't get to meet her. Or everybody stops her. Like, no, you can't, not going to meet. You're not going to get married. There can be a problem. I know I was about 10, 11 years of age. So we used to work in, at that time, reunion, there used to be a small shop in the White area, Marhum Baipada's brother. So he was the manager in the shop, and we used to go work in the shop there. Right? So 10, 11 years of age now, and in that zamana, it used to be two separate counters, whites and non-whites. So the white customers, they can only come on this side, and the blacks must be on that side. And they would respect it, all would respect it. So, in that zamana now, we already heard one story, these two youngsters are in love. He's an Afrikaner, and she's an English woman. Right. Now, the parents will not just allow it. Surti Memon, how can it happen? How can it happen? They're not allowing it. Right. Now, you see this, min ghayri dharra amudirra. Then, after a week or 2 weeks, I heard, That love was so intense and they're stopping it, that both of them committed suicide, both dead, finished. See that love now, it's, you won't say that, you won't say that it was right for them to do it, but to a certain extent, they were also mazur for what they've done. the excuse, because the love is now it's so intensified, they can't resist, and they're stopping them. Imagine now, if you're driving right at 350, you're driving right, and you have to put dead brakes. What happens? What happens? Huh? Dead brakes. What happens? You may crash the car, right? You may just capsize the whole thing. So that love is going at that speed, and you want to stop it straight away, it's going to be a little bit difficult. So those mashayikh that are doing Islah also, they have to understand now, if someone is in this type of a chakkar, you have to get him out, but you have to get him out of the style. Hey, put dead brakes. It's going to be a little bit difficult. He may do some things, other stupid things he must do. So if you get him out of that, but gradually you get him out of it. The more time, Ahmed says, that sometimes when he's given a prescription, right, you know, when you're madly in love with a girl, so you must think now, she's black now, she's dead, and all the worms are coming out of her face. So it's not supposed to be a blanket ruling everywhere. Because if the muhabbat with that girl is too intense, and straight away you gave this type of a prescription, it can work in adverse, in opposite direction. That person can get into a depression, he can fall in. Hey, girlfriend, is like this now. So you can fall into a depression. So you have to work the person, but think about it. How are you going to work the person out? Give him a little bit longer chakkar and get him out of it. Not that you will sanction what he's doing, but to understand that his mind got a capacity. His mind got a capacity, he needs to be taken out of this, but how must he be taken out? So you have to think of a way how to take him out, that he doesn't get into a depression and he comes out from this haram as well. So we're talking of this entry level, first level. Right. And this is where a lot of people get deceived, that I got a little bit of charge, I'm doing it. No, that charge is at the entry level. You have to work to strengthen that charge. The charge, now I told you, it's the second level. First is just because of the mahol, of the surrounding, right? Second, you got a little bit of a light, flickering light, but it is unprotected. Like a candle is unprotected. So that thing can, one storm, one rain, the thing can just go off. Like most people now, they have that second light, but that light that they have is unprotected, is unguarded. So you can't be complacent. I got a light now, hey, I can move. That light of yours is unguarded, is unprotected. Be very careful. You go into some unconducive environment and the thing can just be extinguished straight. I was reading namaz now, and I can't read my namaz, everything is all stand still. Now that is because you were the second level and you thought I'm at the advanced level. So this is the second level, right? Then you come, you progress. If you are carrying on, see, if you carry on straight as the Sheikh is guiding, etc., then you come at the third level, right? Now at the third level, nowadays, most mashayikh, not nowadays, but in the past, nowadays they're giving ijazat at the second level, khilafat at the second level. And in the past they would give khilafat mostly in the fourth level, but sometimes at the third level. The third level is to be like this. I'm just giving you the example, the terms, some other time inshallah I'll show you the term, islahi, ittihadi, all that, some other, inikasi, ittihadi, ittifaq. So the third level is to be like this. But imagine there is a massive river, right, with a heavy current, massive river with a very heavy current. I don't know, in Durban there's something like that. Amgeni, how is that Amgeni? No, not like that. Yeah. So if there's a massive river, but with a very strong current, right, and you got a holding just on the side of this river, say 50 acres, right? So you want to irrigate your farm. So you dig out a small canal or a stream leading to your farm. Now, when this thing is moving with that force, abundant water is moving with that force, so the water that's going to go into your farm, how will it come? Force, or gushing, right? So now this is the third level. Now, at the third level, when you got this type of an isbat, then if there is any blockages, this current will wash it away. some branch, some stick, some stubble, something fell on the road. So this current will just wash it out. So that used to happen in the past. Then most people got ijazat, khilafat, when they came to the third level. The Shaykh knows now this person is quite advanced. When he's advanced now it's very unlikely that he will retrogress. He will go backwards. Very, very unlikely. Illa mashallah. Nothing is impossible for Allah Ta'ala. It can happen. After all the progress also, you can still go back. So that is the third level, right? But in all these levels, see, when you're at the third level, you'll be more careful. It's not that now you can be complacent. Automatically, now, in the second level, you have to make the fikr to be careful. On the third level, then Allah Ta'ala gives you that fikr. Allah Ta'ala gives you that fikr, that you've got that fikr that is now, it's natural now to be to have that concern, to have that fikr. Now, Qari Tayyib Sahib, to give one story, you know. So the stories now just support this concepts. So the murid, he asked his sheikh, "I want to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in my dream." So the sheikh told him, "All right, leave out your Isha namaz. Leave out your Isha namaz, go sleep." So now, murid is thinking, "Hey, but Faraz namaz, I can't leave out. How can I ever leave out my Faraz namaz? So I'll just read my Faraz namaz and then I'll go sleep." So he went to sleep, and Nabi Sam got him up, told him, "Bhai, meri sunnat ko tumne kyu chhod di? Why did you leave out my sunnat?" Understand? You know, Qari Sahib is giving an explanation to this. Now, if you just quote this in isolation, you will get it wrong. You will mislead everybody. So Qari Sahib is saying, the Sheikh already knew ki ab ye murid nahi raha, ab ye murad ho gaya. He's not a murid now, he is murad. See? One is murid, one is murad. Murad is now as though Allah Pak is pushing along. He is pushing you. Before you were pushing yourself, now Allah Pak is taking you. You see, now how to show you that this point at this level. Umar radiallahu anhu, right? You can see from the beginning he was a murad. What? From the beginning he was a murad. How you make it out? Nabi Sam made dua for him. See, the previous night Nabi Sam made dua. So he was a murad. Understand? So he's already from the beginning he's at that level. See, that he's going to get the support, the security, this push he'll get. One is a person who himself was trying, came to Medina and accepted Islam, right? And what is, what a strong support. Hey, you're going to go in this way. Pushed him. So he's got a divine support and assistance to go in that way. See? So the Shaykh understood that this murid of mine is already at the level of murad. When he's at the level of murad, agar isne faraz chhod diya to Khuda Taala usko uthayenge zarur. If he left out a faraz, Allah Pak will get him up. Like when he left out the sunnah, then Nabi Sam got him up. So the Shaykh understood now, this person is escalated now. He can't. He's at that level. See, at that level, where even if he thinks of doing a wrong, he can't do it. Like virtually impossible. Someone will say, "Hey, but talking nonsense, man. How can it happen?" So they say, "Kullu man raja'a." Raja'a anit tariq la ba'dan nihaya. What? Everybody that relapsed, anyone that relapsed, he relapsed whilst he was on the path. Not that person who had already reached the end. That person that reached the end, there was no relapse. The relapse was with the person who's on the path. Understand? Now you want an example for that. The example for that is, a mango ripened, right? Now, after it's ripened, can it become green again? Can't. So, when that person is at that level, then for him to relapse, like it's like virtually impossible. Understand? It's like impossible. You won't say impossible. You'll say it's like Allah can make that ripe mango green. Can't he do it? Can it happen? It can happen. But does it happen? It doesn't happen. You don't hear of a ripe mango coming green again. So similarly, when he's already at the end, then it's unlikely that that person will relapse. Now Allah will look after him, because now he's at the level of murad. So even if he's slipping, Allah will get him up. Falling, Allah will move him, push him. Right? So he'll have that conscience. He'll be so conscientized that he won't go off. Like you hear of, I think it was Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Ali. So he missed out. He forgot. Perhaps he forgot making khilal of the beard. Right? And some sunnah, I think it was the khilal of the beard he missed out, right? So Nabi Sam reminded him in his dream, Mera khilal, mera tum, mere muhabbat ki dawa karte ho, aur mere sunnat ko chhodte ho. You made dawa of my muhabbat and you left out my sunnah. You see, when you chart at that level, so you are at a different level. So to compensate for this, he fasted for an entire year. Can you do that? So you see that murad is not just, everybody calls I'm murad also. Because I come from Muradabad. So I'm murad. So you work yourself and you come to this level. When you come to this level, now if you are falling to, Allah will hold you. He'll hold you. Support you. But now you will have that charge. One small mistake also you will. They say Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali, he was walking in the street somewhere. And some women are discussing, you know, this man here, all night he stands up in Ibadat. So if they say from that day, the Fajr Namaz was read with the Isha Wuzu. See, it mustn't be that I am a cheat, I am a suspect, you know. In the eyes of the people, I am something, and reality is something else. But now you see now what a level of a murad he must have been, that for 40 years, Fajr namaz with Isha wuzu. Can you see that? So when you are at that level, then you are something else. So there, it's very unlikely for that person to go off. So that's what they say. Kullu man raja'a anit tariq. He's still on the path and he had relapse. He didn't reach us yet. But when you reach now, then you can't have a relapse. Then, like I said, the qudrat of Allah is one thing, but it doesn't normally happen, right? So this is now the third level, right? And the fourth level, that is now the ideal. That's called ittihadi. Right? Others, inikasi, islah, etc. But the last one is ittihadi, right? Now, to express this now, you have to give one little bit of a story for you to understand. So, in every respect, you become as though you become identical to the Shaykh. Everything. To the extent, even the thinking, even the features, everything become like about the same. It becomes like the same. Right? So that's called ittihadi. Now let me give you two stories for you to understand this thing here. So there was one Pathan Maulana that was a student of Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi, the founder of Darul Deoband. I think his name was Maulana Abdul Qadir. So this great Maulana, now he got married. Now Maulana Yaqub Sahib heard that this person here is hitting his wife. His student is hitting his wife. So he traveled all about 100 kilometers to go and find out, okay, this person, is it true that he's hitting his wife? So he found out it was true that he was hitting his wife. What was the reason for him meeting his wife? So he was an alim now, and he wanted to make his wife an alima, but now the alima he wants her to become, in 1 year he wants her to do 5 years job, sarf, nahu, gardaj, all that. Okay, so that'll it. Now she can't manage; she's catching it, right? So Maulana asked this person here, he found out it was true. He verified with that Maulana was hitting. Is it happening? He said, yes. So in the crowd, what you call his shoe and start giving it to him. He's a Pathan, big size, one is a small person like this. He's a Pathan, big size, and one is giving it to him. In a big crowd. And this man is comfortably taking it. So anyway, then at the end, Mas says, all right, Mujhe tafweez talaq haq de do. Give me the right to divorce your wife. If I ever heard this, hear this, any small discrepancy, he saw this man, he won't marriage. But he had a temper now, and he couldn't control. He had a passion now that my wife must become an alima. And he couldn't control it. When he couldn't control it, he said, right, you rather just separate, because you are, the adrenaline in you is too much. And you'll put her into overdrive, she can't manage it. You can manage it because you are V8. She's V1. So you can't manage, the engine is too much, too hard. She can't manage, your level she can't manage. When she can't manage your level, then by rather just separate your ways. Al-Mu'tamir says that thereafter there was one jalsa, Yaqub Sahib had passed away. About 5 years he had passed away. So there was a jalsa and I was invited, right? Now Yaqub Sahib has passed away. I'm at the jalsa and I attend the jalsa. I see the same. Now I see from the distance, I see more Yaqub Sahib is coming. Exactly, you know, his appearance, style of walking, everything the same. As I come closer, then I'm told that this is Mawlana Abdul Qadir, Pathan Mawlana. But you see, the total conformity when there was this level of fana'iyat. See the level of fana'iyat he gave. When he gave that level of fana'iyat, now there was that nisbat ittihadi. Understood? Saw that. So that's a very high, very, very high level. Now, you'll find the same thing in the Sahaba Ikram as well. Right? You look at Hudaybiyah, right? And Umar is really, really frustrated. He says, let's go for it. Let's go for the kill. Let's get them. Aren't you on the truth? Aren't you the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala? Then, lima nu'tiya daniyata. Why must we take this disgrace? And Umar is saying this, right? When he heard this from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so he's saying this. Now he goes to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr is giving the same, exactly the words, same words, verbal term, what Nabi Sallam had given. Okay, this is going to happen, inshallah. You will attend, you will enter Makkah Mukarramah, you will make tawaf, you will make umrah. And the third thing is, did I tell you that you are going to make umrah this year? Not this year, but you'll make. But exactly the same words that Nabi Samad used, Abu Bakr used exactly the same words. You understand? So see that nisbat. See that nisbat. It's Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. So he says, you know, any person does any type of work, then you attribute him to that work, isn't it? Like you say, dood wala, roti wala, right? So now, he's claiming nubuwat for himself. So because I do the work of the Nabi, so I'm a Nabi, Nabi wala, nubuwat wala, what? Dood bechne wale ko kya kehte? Dood wala. Roti wale ko kya kehte? Roti wala, right? So because I do the work of Nabi, so I am Nubuwat Wala. So now our ulama had to give it to him. So, or agar koi gade ki nokri karta ho to, usko kya kahenge? Gada. Gade wale kahenge. Usko kya kahenge? Gade. Ghore ki nokri karta ho, usko kya kahenge? Ghora kahenge. Or agar koi kehta hai ki main Allah Ta'ala ka kaam karta ho to, usko kya kahenge? Khuda. So this, see ways to deceive. And so this one story, just to understand this nisbat ittihadi, right? That nisbat becomes so, so strong. You're identical to that person. But then that comes when this, that level of fana'iyat is found. That fana'iyat means that you're not asking Chu Chira why, when, how, like you are saying like now at that level it's like Kal Mayiti fi yadil ghassal. The Shaykh was just said and you just moving. It turns you this way, you turn this way. Moving with the, he's turning you the other way, you're still moving. So you reach that level of finite, that as though you've got no opinion of your own. You're just being moved. As he's trying to move, he'll move. See? Move that way, he'll move. My one ustad used to say that his mother used to be, more time as Khalifa, not Khalifa, Murid, right? And she was living approximately 2,000 kilometers away from Tan of Bowen. Right? But without fail, every morning at Tahajjud, Mawlana would come personally and get up. Somehow, whatever happened, what happened? 2,000 kilometers at distance, but every morning, knock at the door, Tahajjud, and he's gone. See that? So that nisbat, the type of taluk, and that's the type of support that you get with that nisbat. Anyway, it's time up now. Other stories in my mind, but it need, that needs about the 15-20 minutes to give, make justice to it.